Turn with me, if you would, this morning. Aren't you thankful for the word?
Yes.
Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. I'm expectant about what God is going to do this week.
This week.
This week.
This week. Yeah.
Amen. This week. You know, since faith is always now, how about we just have it now?
Yeah.
How about we lay hold of anything we need now?
Right.
How about we move into things that have been awaiting us now?
Yeah.
Now is just it. Amen?
I
was listening to Dad Hagen. He was at our church in 2003, the year he went home to be with the Lord. And I was re-watching the videos of those again recently, and he made a statement on the last night of those meetings, and he said, I rarely have gotten into the full potential of my office.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when that anointing is at full potential power, he said, when I get near people, they'll either laugh, fall out, or what was the other, run or... Yeah, laugh. What is it, Tony?
Is it
shaking? Yeah, something like that. There would be a response to it. You get near and people. There's a demonstration that happens. So he made that statement. He said I have rarely been there in that full potential of the office. And he said this. Then he said this. He said the reason is because I can't go any further than the people would respond in it.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that something?
Yeah.
The measure it came on him was determined by the people. You know, because many times we think, well, it can come on you in full measure, but the people not respond. He was saying it can't even come on you if the people don't respond.
Wow.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I had thought, well, somebody can be under the full measure, but the people not respond to the full measure.
Right.
But Dad Hagen was saying it won't even come if the people aren't responding. So I've come to respond this week. What about you? This is a place that's hungry, and let's all eat it up together. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to, let's look at verse 8. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified, you may just want to listen to how it reads. But verse 8 says this, "Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Then it goes on in verse 9. The Lord, now listen to the Amplified, the Lord does not delay. The Lord is not tardy. The Lord is not slow about what he promises. So he doesn't delay, he isn't tardy, and he isn't slow when it comes to his promises. Amen. That means he's not holding back on a promise. He's not hindering a promise from manifesting. It said he does not delay. He is not tardy. He is not slow about his promises. According to some people's conception of slowness, listen to this, but he is long-suffering.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily patient, then the next word says, toward you. So if there's delay, if there's tardiness, if there's slowness, it's not him, it's you.
Yeah.
We think, God, why are you taking so long to give me that house or that business or that building or that job or that car or dealing with my family? How come it hasn't happened yet? And this verse tells you, he is extraordinarily patient waiting for you.
Yeah.
So that does away with what all religious people will misapply to our Father and say, he's just, you know, He's never late. He's on time. But what they mean is he's slow getting there.
Come on now.
He's always on time, but people are not always on time.
That's right.
And there are a lot of times when people say God's always on time. Well, there's a lot of, if you go by that, right. God is always on time, meaning he takes his time and he waits till the very last minute and slides in the answer.
Yeah, come on.
That's what they imply, because he's always on time. Well, I know a lot of Christians he wasn't on time for then. Because there are a lot of Christians who have failed with their finances, with their families, with their health. They have failed. So God's not always on time according to what they say. Because if God was always on time, there would be no Christian failing. Because it's not on God's side. The reason it's not on time, so to speak, is God was patient waiting for them and they never arrived. Praise the Lord. If we don't have it, it's never on God's side. It's always on our side. So drop this religious answer. Well, he's on time. No, he's patient. He would have come earlier. He would have done some things earlier, but he was waiting for some people to arrive at appropriate believing.
There you go. Nice. Yes.
He was waiting for some people to arrive at appropriate speaking. If you haven't received what you need from God, then God's not pleased with your version of faith yet. Amen. Because when your faith is as it should be, when it comes in line with the Word, there's results every time and there's no delay in that. If there is delay, God is patient. See, we think we're patiently waiting on Him.
Come on now.
To manifest, and I'm going to keep walking in faith with God because I'm patiently waiting for Him. He's the one patiently waiting for us.
That's right. That's right.
It says He's extraordinarily patient, is what the extraordinary. He's having to exercise extraordinary patience in our direction, because he would have done it earlier, but he's patient, sitting back and waiting for us to reach and fulfill our part. Praise the Lord. So you now can be, you can dismiss the doctrine that God is slow, God is tardy, he's holding out, he's waiting. No. He's waiting on us. This is what I'm trying to tell you. He's waiting on us. The quicker we respond, the quicker we believe, the quicker we learn to become skillful with the flow of faith and with the Word, the quicker we receive. We're the ones who measure how quick the manifestation of His promises come, not Him. Now, don't misunderstand me. When it comes to us walking out His plan for our life, there are seasons that certain things have to happen. You know, just like a student, you know, a kid who started first grade just can't graduate as a senior next year. He just can't. Because he has to move through the seasons. But he's talking here about his promises. He's not talking about seasons. He's talking about his promises. You can receive right now.
That's right. Amen.
Why did you not get saved earlier than you did? Because you didn't respond earlier. You did not come in line, and God was extraordinarily patient waiting on you to see your need for a Savior, right? The moment you saw, wait a minute, because there could have been people, family members, loved ones, neighbors, church people that could have invited you to church for a long time, told you about Jesus, and you didn't respond because you didn't think you needed that. But once your thinking came in line and you go, wait a minute, I need a Savior. I need something different in my life. When you thought that, immediately you were born again.
Right.
On a moment's notice, you were born again when you came into line with right thinking, right believing, and right receiving. Isn't that right? Was he tardy? Well, you know, it's taken you a while to recall on me, so I'm going to let you think about it. No, he wasn't tardy. He wasn't slow. He wasn't delayed.
No, you're right.
The moment you came in line, the manifestation was there. Amen. There is nothing delayed about God. There's nothing tardy. There's nothing slow. So if things have not manifested, don't beat yourself up.
Right.
But just say, evidently God's giving me the opportunity to become more skillful in His Word, in my believing, in my actions of faith. And thank you, Father, because my answer hasn't shown up. I'm thanking you. That means you're exercising extraordinary patience toward me. Thank you for that while I'm learning. Amen. Does that make... Listen, He's being good to us. I said He's being good to us. Now think about it with Dad Hagen. Remember on his deathbed, as a 15-year-old, he ended up on his deathbed. He ended up getting saved. That first day he was bedridden, but it was 16 months before he was raised up off the deathbed. Why was that? Because he had been told that the day of miracles was past. He'd been told God doesn't heal anymore. He'd been told all this wrong doctrine. And so by the time after 16 months that he was able, with the help and the tutoring of the Spirit, he saw that the days of miracles were not past. He saw that faith could receive still what it needs. And the moment he got the revelation of Mark 11, 23, 24, right. The moment he got the revelation, he said, I see it. I've got to believe. While my heart is still beating wrong, while my heart is still... not healed in my body, I have to believe I received my healing. He said, I see it. I've been trying to see my body change and then I was going to believe it. He says, I see it. I've got to believe it and then I'll see it. He said, when he got that revelation, he said, in the bed, he raised up his hand and said, I believe. I receive my healing. And within 10 minutes, he's up and out of that bed completely whole. Why? Because God does not delay. God is not tardy. God is not slow about His promises. He was patiently, extraordinarily patient for 16 months waiting for Brother Hagen to get the light. Once he got the light, God was always, always right there with His power ready. Always ready to manifest a promise. God is waiting on us so He can manifest His promise. Waiting on us so He can manifest. He's ready with His promises. Don't you ever buy into God's waiting on something. It's not God's timing. With a promise, it's always now. With a promise, it's always now. It belongs to you now. The quicker, if it hasn't manifested, something more needs to be learned. Something more needs to be believed. Something more needs to be acted on. Something more needs to change. Something more needs to be said. Amen. Isn't that good to know? Wait a minute. Then I've got, and God's being patient.
Yes.
So if what you've been believing for hasn't shown up yet, God is still being patient toward you. Amen. Thank God for His patience. I said, thank God for His patience. Hallelujah. So think about this. The Israelites, they left Egypt and started moving toward the promised land. But when they began to think wrong, they had to stop movement. God was not delaying them 40 years from moving in. They delayed Him. And when as long as they were thinking right, moving right, they could exit out of Egypt. And they made their exit, didn't they? But when they started questioning, when they started wondering, when they started doubting, they stopped. God wasn't delaying. God wasn't tardy. He was being patient toward them. And their wrong thinking stopped them from progress. Why were they thinking wrong? Because they were believing wrong. They were believing wrong.
That's right.
So you can start out right. You can start out right. I've done that in the past. Haven't you started out believing and laying hold of some things and in the process of it, let it drop? Sometimes just omitted to keep releasing your faith. You didn't say something in doubt or unbelief against it. You just quit releasing your faith for it. And then it stopped progress. But you know what? They could have, after a week in that wilderness, go, you know what? We haven't made any progress in a week. Evidently, we need to do something. But you know what they did? They started blaming God. They started blaming Moses. Why did you bring us out here to die? They started their lack of progress. They started blaming on their leadership. Their lack of progress, they started blaming on God. And you staying right there, buddy. You just staying right there when you do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
They were blaming God. And in blaming God, no more progress.
Right.
I love something. There was a man who used to come to our church years ago, and one of our staff members saw him out at a store and said, "Brother, we haven't seen you in a while." You know, because he was very active in the church and very vocal about his love for the church, but,
sure.
You know, quit moving forward and quit coming. She said, "I haven't seen you for a while." He said, "Yeah, well, I got mad at God." She said, "How's that working out for you?" Well, I know how it's working out for him. He's an alcoholic today. Why? Because you start saying that God's the problem and there's no more progress. The devil deceives you, you know. So whether or not you progress is up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. Well, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So they wandered for 40 years until somebody else came along, the next generation that started thinking right. And as soon as the next generation started believing right and thinking right, they started making movement and they laid hold of. You see, God was patient, extraordinarily patient for 40 years waiting for them. And listen, God has a plan. I've learned this. God has a plan, and his plan is going to be held out for whoever has faith enough.
Amen.
Listen, God does not let a plan die with a man's faith.
Come on. Boy, that's good.
Because there are some, he doesn't just assign a plan to a man and say it can only go to that man. The plan moves with faith.
Yeah.
God's plan is looking for faith. Who has the faith for this plan? Who has it? Because the plan will go with the faith. And if a man starts off in faith, then he starts moving with the plan of God. But if he ever stops moving in faith, the plan doesn't die. The plan will not die. It will jump to the next generation, or it will get moved to somebody who has faith, because God's going to get his plan fulfilled. You know, my husband went home to be with the Lord, in my estimation, 15 years early. You know, for whatever, he was to live another 15 years. Well, there's more plan there to be fulfilled. So I said to God, I said, "Father, the plan's going to continue. The man may not be here any longer, but the plan's still here. Plan's still here. And we're carrying on the plan." The thing you have to take heart in is, even though a person isn't here, the plan's still here.
That's right. That's right. Plan's still here.
I said, the plan is still here. And if we wouldn't carry on with the plan would move to somebody else. Because God's plan is going to get fulfilled. Listen, God has promises. Somebody will claim them. Might as well be you.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Might as well be you.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So we see this, God's not tardy, he's not slow, he's not delaying, but he's extraordinarily patient toward us. And you've heard me talk about the testimony about the home God gave me. He showed me which home. He told me in 2011 that he had another home for me. In February of 2014 is when he showed me which home it was. I did not, and I was led of the Spirit on when to move toward this. So it was February of 2014, he showed me which home, and I had the leading to approach about purchasing the home in January of 2015, so 11 months later. It took 2 months for them to contact me back to even let me know whether or not they would sell me the home, because, you know, the home wasn't for sale. So I waited for 2 months. Now see, when I made them that I told them I wanted to buy the home, I was ready the next day. Let's go for it. You know, because when you're ready, you're ready.
Yeah.
It took 2 months for them to contact me to tell me they would sell me the home. Then he said, because it was owned by a Four Square church, it had to go through 3 different boards. And one of them was a congregational vote. So there were a lot of hands involved and a lot of people involved. So here it was March before I even heard about it, whether or not they'd sell it to me. So I'm thinking, he said, well, you're going to have to give me a little bit of time to get it through all the boards. Well, he told me later that the Four Square people were like a year and a half. They had so much properties and things because it's a large denomination that they had board meetings. He said, if we put you on the docket, it would be a year and a half before we ever got to discussing your project. So he said, I moved mountains to get you even earlier, which I appreciate that. And so here it was. March when he told me we'll sell it to you, but he said we've got to go through boards, we've got to get approval, and he says I want to sell it, but they have to approve the sale as well. So here it was about June, and I'm going, God, because see, I've been waiting since February 2014, you understand? I mean, because, you know, it gets bigger in you and you're ready to move. But there's other people involved because through the hands of men, he's going to bless you. But sometimes other men's hands can be slow.
Sure.
Or there can just be a lot of steps to take. So here I had approached him in January. He told me in March they would sell it. So here it is June, and we haven't done it. We've gone through 2 boards, but still we've got another one. And I said to God, I said, this needs to speed up.
Yeah.
So it was trying to weigh on me. And when things start trying to weigh on me, I start walking.
Yeah.
I get out of the house and I go for a walk. I just do. I got to walk this off, you know. So I'm out, I'm going for a walk because, you know, you start getting agitated. So you start putting your foot down on the ground, you know, and you're just going. And I'm walking and I'm having to talk with God. And I said, God, this is taking too long. I said, can you speed this up? Because I'm thinking all this process, you know, just add your influence, add your favor, add a little bit of spizzarinctum in there, you know. I'm teasing. I know that's not scriptural. But I know that he has an influence.
Yes, yeah.
I'm asking for that influence, a greater measure.
Yeah.
So I'm on my walk, and, you know, this was my plan. I had a certain amount of cash. I'm taking all the cash I've got. I'm going to purchase that home. I'm going to get it financed. I'm going to purchase it, and I'm going to take all this cash and I'm going to renovate the home.
Sure.
Then I can live in it comfortably. It's finished. It's done.
Right.
I like my plan. It's a good plan.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
So here, my thought is I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the house financed. Then we're going to renovate, and I've got the cash for that. And then God's going to pay the house off. So he's going to do. And I'm going to live in a renovated house while he's paying it off.
Yeah.
Right? Good plan?
Yeah.
I've seen too many HGTV things where they moved in and walls, you know, were stripped down to the studs, you know, and they're living in there for months. And I go, no, we're not doing that. So on this walk, I was telling God, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's get this thing moving. I'm ready. He said, I'm going to finance, and I've got the money. I'm going to renovate. And then he said this, I don't want you to finance. I want you to pay cash. I go, what? Because I just saw my renovation money leave.
Yeah.
What? So that didn't make sense to my plan,
right.
You know? And I go, God, if I pay cash for the house, that means I don't have the money to renovate. Not good plan. And he said to me, he said, I want you to take that money and pay cash for the home. I want to make you debt free. And I, because see, my thoughts were finance. His thoughts were payoff.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
My thought was more debt. His thought was no debt.
Wow. Wow.
So whenever I said, okay, because I really did not know that was his plan.
Yeah.
Until he said that day. Because I already had my plan.
Yeah.
And then when I said, oh, okay, so that's your plan, I'll do that. The only thing is, I did not know how much money the house was going to cost.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The pastor said to me when I talked to him, he said, Nancy, what do you think about the price of the home? I said, Pastor, whatever you set the price at, I'll pay it. Now, that's not, people go, well, that's not good business negotiation. Well, let me tell you what's good business negotiation. It's following the leading of the Spirit.
Yeah.
God said, that's my house. This is a man of God. This is a denomination. I'm not going to take advantage of him to benefit myself. That's not good business in God's system. And if God said, that's my house, the number is God's problem, not mine. Because if he said, that's my house, it doesn't matter whether it's 100,000, 500,000, 2 million, 4 million. It doesn't matter what the number is. If he said, that's my house, then the supply has to meet what he said. It has to. So I'm not going to fight a man of God over a price. You understand? I'm not dealing with the world. I'm dealing with a man of God. So I said, Pastor, whatever you say is the price. I said, I'll pay it. He said, Nancy, I want to give it to you at a certain price. But he said, the board is not ever going to agree to that. And I said, I understand that. You just have them to tell me what the price they want. I'll pay it.
Yes, amen.
And so anyway, so the only thing is, I said to God on this walk, I said, I'd like to get this thing going. And he started talking to me about changing my thinking. I'm talking to him about getting this deal complete. He's talking to me about changing my thinking. I'm talking to him about getting this deal complete. He's talking to me about changing my thinking. What? I thought I was waiting on the process, and God was waiting. He was being extraordinarily patient, waiting for me. So when I changed my thinking to a finance flow over to a paid for flow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
I had to adjust. Now, don't misunderstand me. It didn't take me days. Just a few moments, and I readjusted my thinking. Once I readjusted my thinking, within weeks, then the house was in my name. It was done. We put it in escrow, and the thing got done. I found out that we put it in escrow even before the all the boards had voted yet. And I put in the escrow instructions that this is the price we'll start at, but at any time they can change the sale price at any time throughout escrow. The reason is because the day escrow closed was the morning that they were going to have their very last meeting, and that was the morning that they set the price, the day escrow was to close.
Wow.
So this is why I never thought to approach them with, I'll pay cash for the house, because I didn't know what the price was. But God knew what the price was. And he told me, pay cash. So I told the pastor, I have the cash to pay for the house, but I didn't know what the price was. I'm hoping what I got is... But see, that's what God said to do. I told the pastor, I will pay... When I put it in escrow, I said, I will put it in escrow paying cash for the house. So then we don't have to go through financing. We got it through escrow in 11 days. 11 days. Which, you know, for those of you who buy property, that doesn't normally happen that fast. But when you have cash... You can move things along, and he helped, and my escrow agent, she's our friend, so she helped move it along. So whenever, here I'm going all through escrow, and I've told him, oh, I told him I'll pay cash. And that morning at 8:30, they called a special board meeting, the Four Square, to set the price and to vote on whether they'd sell it, then set the price. So they contacted me at 10 o'clock in the morning of the day escrow closed and let me know the price. Then before they did that, I told the pastor, it's not right for y'all to pay closing costs on your side. It's not right to split closing costs because you weren't even wanting to sell it.
Wow.
I'm the one that asked for the sale. It would be different if you had asked and put it on the market. We're looking for a buyer, but you weren't. Why should you lose money? So I said, I will pay my closing costs and yours. Except I don't know what the closing cost is because I don't know what the price is. And I'm thinking, I hopes I got enough. Because I told them.
Right.
So 10 o'clock that morning, they told me the price. And I had $10,000 left over. Boy, that's called overflow.
Yes, it is.
Amen. So then I put the home I moved out of because I bought that. I bought it in July of 2015. I didn't move into it till this past February. So it sat there because I didn't have the go ahead to move into it. Well, there's other stories with that, but another couple moved into the caretaker's quarters because I needed someone to be living there because I travel so much.
Yeah.
So they finally got into place, and then I moved in February. But this is what I want you to see is that God said to me, I put my other home for sale as soon as the escrow closed on the castle, then I put my other home up for sale. And God said this to me. Now see, I thought the home I moved out of would sell so quickly.
Yeah.
So quickly.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Let's make this happen. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. See, we're always on our end shoving.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants us on our end being led.
Yeah, that's right.
Not shoving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so He said to me, now the home that I was moving out of is a lovely home. And it's one of my favorite homes that we had owned up to that time. And the day when we bought it, it had only been on the market for 30 days and there were 10 other offers on the home. And this was at a time when the economy was under a crunch. So I thought, when this house goes up for sale, because I've been in all the houses, it's a gated community, and I've been in all these other homes, and none of them are nice as this one. Not to disregard theirs, but mine's better.
That's right.
All the others need renovating, and mine's new, and mine looks good. And so I'm thinking, this thing is going to sell quick, and then we can get the reno going. And God said to me, take the time before the home sells to enlarge yourself for the renovation of what you want to do at the castle. Well, I thought he meant like a month or two.
Yeah.
I can get enlarged in a month or two.
Yeah.
It has now been 12 months. 12 months.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm thinking he's slow and he's waiting for me to get big enough. So every day I keep as soon as I get large enough.
Come on now.
Now when I'm talking about large enough, I'm talking about what I'm going to do in the renovation, because I can tell you it's totally different now from when I even moved into the home in February. I thought I was going to do this, but now, baby, we're going over the top because I've had time to enlarge myself. I just got more expensive. I just upped God's bill. But that's okay because His supply meets my bill. He's not wanting. Now, this is what I want you to see. God was willing to let me wait from February of 14 to July of 15. He was willing for me to wait that long and be inconvenienced, waiting for me to get large enough to think payoff instead of finance. He was willing to let me be inconvenienced with that.
Yeah.
Why? Because He did not want me to settle for finance when He knew payoff was available.
Amen.
We will, if we move too quickly sometimes, we will settle and not move into the fullness of what God wants for us. Now, if He would have sold, because listen, God can just look your way in a home sale.
Come on.
You understand?
Yeah, that's right.
God doesn't even have to extend his hand to make.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus said that with the finger of God, I cast out demons.
Yeah,
so
right.
He's not even having to cast out a demon out of my house or anything. Just selling it. You know, he doesn't even have to do a whole finger. Just twitch.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
And the house could sell. You understand that? God can do things spectacularly and suddenly and make things happen. It's not about that, but what he can't do is make your thinking change that quick. He can make circumstances change, but not thinking, because you're in control of your brain, not him. You're in control of your believing, not him. So I've been waiting, I think, for 12 months for my house to sell, but what's he doing? He's willing to let me be inconvenienced enough so that when I renovate, it's what he planned and not what I settle for.
Yeah. So good, Pastor.
You understand that? Why is it tardy? Why is it delayed? He's waiting on you so that you won't settle for less. That's what. He does not want you settling for less. Let me tell you, can I tell you this? Poverty wants the cheapest route.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Prosperity wants the excellent route.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good.
And there's a big price difference between the two.
Yeah. Come on now.
So when you go, I'm looking for cheap, that's poverty talking, that's poverty thinking.
That's right.
And God wants more for you than cheap. He wants excellent for you.
He wants excellent. That's right.
And he's willing to let you wait and be patient with you so you can come up to excellence and leave poverty. And let me tell you, I was just going to paint in some rooms. Now we not. We're bringing in muralists. We're bringing in gold leafing. We're bringing in stuff. I'm talking, we're going to be tastefully gaudy. We're gonna be almost ridiculous. Almost. Why? Because I've had time. I've had time to enlarge and just get gaudy about it. Yeah. God was okay with me waiting longer. It costing him more. You get that? It's because it's not costing him. His supply is. But you understand what I'm talking about. The price tag's going to go up. It takes time. It takes time for your mind to break out of. It takes time for your believing and your desires to reach for more. Stephen and Morgan. Stephen is my oldest son. He's 30. And Morgan, his wife. And They after Ed and I moved into the home that I just moved out of, we were there just a few months, and Stephen said, because they owned a home, they said, we want to sell this home. We don't want to live here anymore. We're going to find another home, but can we live with y'all while we're looking for our home? And, you know, California has a lot of homes. It's not like the rural area where I grew up in where they're not ever building. You know, you got to wait for somebody to die to get a home. Seriously, because they're old homes and the family they're not building anything. So somebody has to die or move, you know? And then you get a home. Well, California's not that way. You know, there's homes everywhere. So Stephen and Morgan thought this is going to be a sweet, quick transition. So they said, can we move in? We said, yeah, you can move in. Well, 3 years later, 3 years later, we're still looking at homes. They're asking us, go with us to look at homes, you know. And so we're going and we're looking at homes all over. Yeah. And so every time they would go in, this one's not right. This isn't right. It just wasn't sitting right. Well, finally, they got so aggravated at the process, they went into one home and I didn't care for it. You know, that's why they took us, you know, to look at it. What do you get about this, you know? And they said, what do you think about it? I said, I don't like the lot. And I said, the house is poorly built. I don't like when baseboards take an inch to meet.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like when things, I don't like shoddy work.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like shoddy work.
I just don't care for it.
And if you're going to be paying this much, let's get something that the workmanship is appropriate.
Right.
I don't like shoddy work. And really, it looked like the homeowner had done much of the work on this home, which that's their prerogative. But then it's also a prerogative for me to notice that this must be a hobby for you.
Yeah.
Because... There's not a lot of skill, you know. And when I walked in, my first thought, if they buy this home, it's going to be a bear to sell.
Yeah.
Because it's such poor quality in the way they finished it out. Now, it looks flashy when you walk in, but if you will notice the details...
Yeah.
Because people will cover poor details with flash and, you know, materials, but that doesn't substitute for fine workmanship. So that's what I was looking at. So I said to them, not that house. Don't buy that house. Not only that, you're paying for a lot that's completely unbuildable and the mountain comes right down at your back door. You've got a small... You know, a little small yard, and you got a mountain there, and it's just a poor lot. It's just, I wouldn't do that. So Ed got up, and, you know, the next morning, and they were talking about, they loved the house because they liked the style. I like the style, but the workmanship overrides the style.
Yeah, that's right.
The style is unique, it's fun, it's young, it's youthful, it's great, but the quality is so bad.
Yeah, right.
So, Ed and I were talking about it, and I both, he said, I don't feel right about the house. I said, that's not the house. I'm just telling you that's not the house. Well, Stephen and Morgan were aggravated at having to be so, now they got two babies in the house, you know, with us. And everything's inconvenient for them. I understand that. But they were, let's just go ahead and get it. Because we like the house, let's just go ahead and get it. So when I woke up the next morning, and Ed said, that's not the right house. I said, that's not the right house. But the next morning, as soon as I woke up, the Spirit of God warned me, tell them not to buy that home. I mean, there was a warning from heaven because I knew that they would get in it, they would regret it, and they would be at a hardship with that place. So I told them, I said, God said, let's not do this. Now, I knew that the final decision rested with them, but bless God, I'm going to stand in front of the bridge that fell out, and I'm going to go, no, 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 don't go this way. I'm not going to stand by, you know, I'm not going to stand on the side and wave at them as they go by off the cliff. That would have been a financial cliff for them. I'm not going to stand there and wave you on. So after the next week or so, you know, they went back to see it again. I said, I don't need to see it again. I've seen dump once. I don't need to see dump twice. And so then they started persuading Ed, you know, well, we could do this and we could do that. And okay. Because Ed loved to build. You know, Ed loved to build. So what I'm trying to show you is I am the lone holdout. I am standing there as a beacon of gloom and doom and don't do it. And they're wanting to do this. And I said, no. And I was going to take my money and help them with the down. And I said, I reserve my down. I'm not giving my down to this. Now, I wasn't doing the whole down, but I was doing a big portion of it. I said, I'm not doing it. No, I'm not. You can lose your money, but you're not losing mine. Right? So every few months they would say, well, you know, that is the only house we liked. I go, I don't care. So the process, and then Ed died, and then so they're still looking for a home. They didn't find one. Now they're moving into a rental home. They own a home, you understand. Now they're renting a home. And they live in a rental home for 2 years. you talk about inconvenience, you know, moving multiple times and not feeling rooted. You know, you don't feel like you belong anywhere. So you can imagine the inconvenience of all of that and the unsettling of all of that. And so in December, this past December, Morgan said to me, said, well, we did have a home that we liked. That's the only home we have liked, and we just, you know, we wish we would have bought that. I said, don't you even start. Don't you even start. I said, I am holding my ground. That was not the home for you, and I will not let you settle. I will not let you settle. I will not let you be robbed from. I don't care. I don't care who's mad. Not that she was mad, but I'm saying she was just expressing, you know, disgust. No, not disgust. Frustration. So I was willing to just, I don't care. That don't make matter. I don't care that you're inconvenienced. You're not losing out financially with what you're doing. So within about 2 weeks, they found a home that was a God home.
Yeah.
I'm talking a God home. Wonderful. I mean, they could not have built it and made it any better. It's just wonderful. It's on 4.5 acres, and it's got a 2,600 square foot workshop, two stories for him, with a car lift built in. It's got a pool with a cave and a slide and a waterfall over the cave and hot tubs, and it's got just everything. It's got a view over the whole region. I mean, it's got an outdoor bar. I mean, it's a piece of work. So they found that home, and within just a few weeks, they have it. They have it. I mean, it went quickly once they found it. And when they were walking through it after they had it, I said, you can thank me now. I will take your thanks now. I held them off for several years. I was willing to let them be inconvenienced because I did not want them settling. How much more God? How much more God? He sees unhindered view what he has for you. He is willing to let you feel the delay, to let you feel the slowness. He is willing to give you space to enlarge your believing, enlarge your thinking, become more skillful with the word so that you don't rob yourself from having the best that he had in mind for you. So take every delay, take every tardiness, take every slowness as an enlargement process. And even if the devil were to step in and hinder, he does you a favor in that it buys you more time to enlarge and say, now, devil, you're going to pay more. Now, devil, we're going to do it bigger. We're going to do it better because I just have time to enlarge. Amen. I got more time to believe bigger, more time to say more time to hold fast, more time to become skillful with the word. Can the devil hinder? Sure he can, but take that time to get bigger than any opposition. Amen. But no, it's not God. God doesn't delay. God is not tardy. God is not slow, but he is extraordinarily patient toward us. Amen. So be encouraged for your own personal businesses, for your own personal situation. Don't take the delay as a time to become discouraged, depressed, and an opportunity to talk doubt and unbelief, and an opportunity to get into worry. Take that time to enlarge yourself, grow your faith, speak your words. Amen. And then just watch God multiply you and grow you and reward you. Amen. Hallelujah. Any delay is your opportunity. You need to see it as an opportunity instead of a time to unhook. Because there are a lot of people that when we were building our building, There was a man who had been a minister. He'd been in the ministry for years, and he came with him and his family, and they were part of our church for a while. And we were just starting our building process, and it was taking longer than the flesh likes.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes the flesh isn't ready for what the Spirit needs to do.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit needs time to enlarge and get stuff, and the flesh is always wanting now. So because it was taking longer, this minister said to some people in our congregation over lunch, that building's never going to happen. That building's never going to come to pass. Well, Ed found out about this conversation and called for luncheon with him and just basically straightened out his wrong thinking for him. But he picked up and moved because he saw the slowness as an exit. This isn't going to happen. This isn't going to come past. I'm getting out of this.
Wow.
But it was our place of enlargement.
Yeah. Praise God.
There are a lot of people that will exit your life and exit the life of the church if they don't think things are going fast enough, and they're part of the delay.
Yeah. Wow, that's so good.
They're part of the delay because they're not in one accord.
Yeah.
They're not hooked up. They're not growing their faith. They're walking by the natural. And you just enjoy the ride.
Yeah,
I love something Brother Norval Hayes said when he was at our church. He said, you're not going to control God with your dumb clock.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people trying to control God with their dumb clock, their dumb calendar.
Yeah. Come on now.
And in their control, they're accusing God.
That's right.
I'm going to give God until a certain time. If he doesn't come through, we're just not going to go that direction. If he told me to start a business, and I'm going to give it till November. If it doesn't work by November, I'm not doing it. Then you're not fit for the task.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because you can't be clock-minded, calendar-minded. You have to be faith-minded. You have to be supply-minded.
Right.
You have to be finish-minded. Yeah. I'm in this for the finish. I'm not in this if it comes to pass in the next 6 weeks, then I'll do it.
Come on now.
Amen?
Yeah.
Faith can last as long as it takes to reach the finish.
That's right.
If you'll add your patience to it and right thinking.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. How many of you know patient with sometimes city, sometimes patient waiting for the congregation to enlarge enough to keep pace with the project. I've learned this, that the ministry can't move forward until all the right staff's in place. And sometimes I have to be patient while God's maturing and developing the people who will be on staff one day. So that we can move forward. I can't move forward alone. Listen, you're not moving forward alone in this congregation. Pastor can't move forward alone. He's got to get everybody going the same direction in one accord, in unity, so that you can move forward. Well, anytime that there seems to be the process where it doesn't look like movement, make the movement be in here. Enlarge in here. Speak, develop your faith in here. Keep the momentum going. That is what faith does. Faith keeps momentum going when there's nothing going on the outside. Amen? Well, isn't God good to us to let us know why things are delayed? It's not because he's slow. It's because he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. Amen? So the quicker we develop, the quicker we say, the quicker we enlarge ourselves. You know, my mother, she's one who loves to refinish furniture. And when she gets a piece of furniture, she likes antique furniture. She doesn't like shabby, chic stuff. She likes like European antiques. I mean, marble and inlaid wood and all the fancy stuff. So there's a place that she would go that would always have these items shipped in. So she would go buy these. And when she would get a piece that needed refinishing, our kitchen no longer was our kitchen. Our kitchen was her workstation.
Yeah.
So she would bring out all the paint removers. She'd bring out drills. She'd bring out grinders, sandpaper. She'd bring out everything.
Yeah.
And she would put everything on hold because she was so thrilled with the process. She didn't just want the finish of that product. She loved the process. She loved the process of working on it. And so when she would do this process, she would stay up till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, go to sleep a couple hours, get back up, start it again. And you notice that what would have taken most people maybe months, it would be done in a week with her. Why? Because she gave all to the process.
Yeah, amen.
You know, you can speed up things when you give all to the process of growing your faith, enlarging. You can speed it up. But if you're only, what about if she only worked on it 30 minutes a day?
Yeah, come on.
It would have taken a long time, and it would have been based on how much she gave to it.
Right, that's right. Amen.
The renewing of your mind, it'll happen based on how much time you give to it.
That's right, amen.
Amen. The developing of your faith, it'll happen to the measure that you give time to it.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
The enlarging of your faith, of your own spirit, depends on how much time you give to it. So how long, God, depends on you.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's good.
Depends on you. How much time you gonna give to it.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, are you helped this morning? This isn't a chandelier swinging type sermon, but it helps us to not cast away our confidence in the process. Can I tell you this? Learn to love faith's process. So many just love the end result. You've got to learn to love the process. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, my thing when I was growing up, especially even now, at times, because I was a piano performance major in college. So, I mean, I'm talking classical stuff, you know? And so I didn't just like performing. I loved the process of the technique and the scales and the arpeggio. I would sit by the hour and just do the process.
Yeah.
And I loved the process even more than the performing of it. I loved the process. I tell you what, faith's process is greater than any other process you do in this earth.
Amen.
Learn to love the process of standing. Learn to love the process of saying. Learn to love the process of right confession, right acting. Learn to love the process of sowing. Learn to love the process of standing your ground against opposition. You don't love the opposition, but love the process, because the process always puts you above the enemy. The process always lands you at the harvest of it, but you've got to learn to love the process. My dad, being a cotton and wheat farmer, you know, he loved to farm. He was in his 80s. Mom and Dad were having their 60th wedding anniversary years ago. And we had a big party for him, and we got him in the middle, and they just sat and told stories. And Daddy talked about farming, and he just wept as he told how he got his first farm. Just sitting wept over it. Because where he had arrived was, he was a multimillionaire now, had all of any land he wanted, had any equipment he wanted, but he so loved the process.
Yeah.
He didn't just love the harvest of those crops.
Yeah.
He loved sowing the seed. He loved watering it. He loved taking care of the land. He loved getting up and going out and making sure that, you know, the wind wasn't blowing the topsoil off. He loved the whole process. And that way, when he talked about it, you could hear the passion of everything that he gave his life toward. I tell you what, the greatest process we ever do is faith's process.
Amen. That's so good.
It's a joy. It is an absolute joy. To sow our seed, stand our ground, make our confessions, stand strong in the face of opposition. It is a joy. And that's what James said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Why? Because faith's process will land you at faith's harvest.
Yes.
And what, you know, can I tell you this? The process of me believing for that home, I loved that thing. I loved the process. I loved going every day and sitting in front of the building and talking to it and drive away. And it wasn't in my name yet, but it was in my spirit.
That's it. That's it. Right.
That's right.
And I'd go back the next day and sit in front of it. Take me a Starbucks. It helps the sitting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'd go get, you know, go get something to make it a fun thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would talk to it and talk, and God would talk to me about this thing. And I tell you what, even though the home isn't renovated now, you know, I'm enjoying it still, but because I've already got it, it's like I'm looking for another process.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something else.
Sure, sure.
And then last week, God spoke something to me. We on the next one, baby. I mean, this one's not even completely done, but I'm already done with this. I'm on the next thing.
Yeah.
I love the process.
Yes. Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Good help here. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When
there looks to be delay, when there looks to be tardy, love that process that is contained in that season.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
You know, in the life of a local church, you've built this wonderful building. You know, that doesn't happen annually for a church. In the life of a congregation, there's just a handful of times you get to do something like this. And now you get to sit in it and enjoy it. And you're still, if I understand, you're still paying it off. Love that process.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely count it an honor and a joy that you are getting to sit in this.
Yeah.
And it's bearing fruit for God.
Yeah.
Learn to absolutely love the process because it just doesn't happen often in the life of a congregation. You've got another process over in Erie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a delight.
It's a delight
to have a process of faith that God has assigned to you.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Amen.
What an honor. Amen. Don't get another faith assignment. No, when you count it a joy, this is what I get up for in the mornings. I get up for faith. The just shall live by faith. I'm looking for something else that I can put my faith on. It is a life to me. It's not just a moment. It's the way I live. That way, when you love the process, then you don't get distracted by when does it end. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God does not delay. He is not tardy. He is not slow, but He's extraordinarily patient for us. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. If it weren't for your word, we would not understand the things we do. If it weren't for your word, we would not know your thoughts. And so, Father, we bring ourselves into union with your thoughts in a greater measure. We're so grateful that you allow us to have this life of faith. It is the best life. And Father, we're so thankful that in this life of faith, we're given projects that faith will work, projects faith will accomplish, projects faith will lay hold of. It is a joy to believe you. It is a joy to run our race. It is a joy to put our hand to the project of faith. It is a joy to release our faith, grow our faith, enlarge our spirits. And Father, as we do that, we say this, that the harvest will be great. The reward, the fruit of it will be great. And we thank you for it. Father, we're never discouraged because no matter what we're believing for, we always know we have a supply. And we say that supply is moving every day. It's moving toward us every day. It's moving for us every day. And we give you thanks for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.